everyone, and welcome back to another Bite where we rewatch the most innovative and intriguing pitches from Shark Tank. I'm Ariel, and I'm joined today by John Dick.
Hey.
Today on The Tank, we're deep diving into liquidity with Coldest, a brand dedicated to bringing the coolest products to the market with a $10 million valuation. Will Coldest be all that it's stocked up to be, or will the cash flow be frozen? We'll find out. Today in The Tank, we're diving into Coldest, which is presented to us by Dave and Joe Ahmad, a twin duo.
Twins.
Which we love to see, the power of twins.
There's like a shocking number of twins. I think the percent of twins that come on Shark Tank is much higher than the percent of twins in the general population.
I heard just recently in general, there's just been more twins just overall. I don't know what's going on, but
sure.
We love a twinning moment though. So Dave and Joe are coming in. They're asking for $600,000 for 6% in their hydration bottle business. Comes out to a $10 million valuation. So they bring to the sharks Coldest, which is hydration bottles, pillows, dog beds, and they want to make things really cold. So it's a suite of products with their anchor product really being this water bottle, hydration bottle. Their mission is to make the coldest products ever, and their bottles stay cold for 36 plus hours. So initially looking at the pitch and just the water bottles before we get into all the other product expansion and whether or not that was a good idea or not, what are your initial thoughts on Coldest?
This pitch was a total roller coaster. Epic intro. Like smoke
and liquid.
Fog machine. And they were like talking in sync with each other. And they were like, we are one person, Coldest. But then the rest of the pitch was like completely and totally underwhelming. They like tried to storytell after that epic intro and the story was all over the place. The shark's like, what are you talking about? They had a completely like undifferentiated product, which was a water bottle. It's just like not a great product. Except then they were like, but our sales were $15 million. So you're like, starts strong, crashes down, comes back up $15 million. Right. So the sharks are like, wow, that's super interesting. But then they reveal that they actually are losing $400,000 a year despite making $15 million in revenue. And so it just crashed back down. And this is just straight up a case of like mismanagement of the company. If you're making $15 million in revenue on a product like a water bottle that you're able to sell at a good margin, like they are selling their product at, and you can't turn a profit, then you are not managing your business effectively. And the reason they are not managing their business effectively, we learn, is that they've got way too many SKUs, which means they've had to put tons of their profit into inventory. And so if you look at their balance sheet, they're sitting on a ton of inventory. They've got like 330 or 340 SKUs or something like that. Way too many for a water bottle company. And they've also done all this product expansion. They're making dog beds.
Right.
What the fuck do dog beds have to do with water bottles? Like,
they need to be cold, John.
Go sell 10 water bottles. Don't send 3 caps with every water bottle. Stop wasting money. Sell a goddamn water bottle and make a crap ton of money and call it a day.
Let's go back to the actual pitch itself before we unpack the numbers, right? Like, let's look at the basic structure of the pitch here. I feel like if I was Joe and Dave, I would have went into this pitch, to your point, John, of numbers first. I think oftentimes we see a lot of founders and pitches come in that are painting the narrative and the intrinsic value of what their product has to offer, but really the numbers should have been the strong lead-in. So if I was Joe and Dave, I would have walked in, I would have had Coldest water bottle on the table for the sharks, and then all the other competitor water bottles, and ask the sharks to take a sip between the competition versus Coldest and say what you like better. Actually demonstrate the value and the quality that your product brings.
Pepsi taste test challenge.
Exactly.
Right there on the spot, Ariel. Hell yeah.
Yes. Bringing it back to the 2000s, which, have you ever done that challenge, John, before?
I did the Pepsi challenge, yeah.
Did you pass?
No, I liked Coke.
Okay.
I remember it very vividly, and the person was like, yeah, a lot of people say that, and like sighed and like looked down. And I was like, oh man, this is totally backfiring, but whatever.
That was my claim when I was like 7 years old, is I was able to tell the difference between the two. And I like had that be my namesake. But similar kind of approach with Coldest. I think, you know, Dave and Joe really could have just been like, hey, it started off with 1,000 orders, which I tried to back out of, but I couldn't. And I was locked in. And we were actually able to sell through and sell out in 2016. I did a little bit of math because I was very curious about their numbers, and as a data analyst, kind of have to. So leading into, we've seen strong year-over-year growth. Within the first year, we increased sales by 177%. When we look at the last 3 years, on average, we're growing at about 30%. And we just can't keep up with the scale. We know that our TAM is huge. We have product market fit, and we're far beyond proof of concept. But the challenge here is we need a little more guidance. We oftentimes will see founders that either focus too much on marketing to generate sales. But I think here, to your point, John, they're bringing so much revenue and they're so focused on the sales piece. And I think they're very honed into what's going to drive my revenue, what's going to drive my sales, which you got to have a little bit more of a balance there. So I think if they would have came in with a very strong, here are our numbers, we're asking for 2% stake in our business, but we have a ton of upside. We think product expansion is the right route, but we're not the most confident in that. Like, we want guidance. I feel like they would have had an easier time.
Yeah. They went in so confident. Dave and Joe, if you're listening, you got to bring Ariel onto the team. She's got it figured out. She nailed it.
Help you with
your
pitch.
Come in, show the product. Don't talk about the past. Just straight up be like, we're selling $15 million worth of these water bottles right now. And we want to make it $150 million in the next 3 years. And we need your help. Sharks would be like, bam, let's write that check.
Right. They're crushing it. I get why they lean into product expansion, right? They're like, okay, maybe we're tapped at water bottles, but going into the actual numbers a little bit more, and you alluded to this with all the SKUs that they have over 350 different unique individual items, which seems like a lot.
Yeah. I mean, take a page out of Apple. How many SKUs does Apple have? You want a phone? You want a laptop?
Yeah.
I'm totally with you. I think that their SKU expansion was just out of control. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure their point of view on it was just like, wow, we have found lightning in a bottle. People are super into our product. We know that they're asking for other versions of our product. I bet they were doing their best, honestly, to like listen to customers. And yeah. I bet they were just dreaming big and were like, let's go, 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 go. Like, now's not the time to make money. Now's the time to actually like plow money into the business. And, you know, I probably would have gone the opposite path and been like, now's the time to stay super focused and to like really just scale this one product as big as we can. And if that really takes off, we can scale to other products. But I'm not sure the like brand is going to halo for them that well. I just don't see someone being like, wow, this water bottle is incredible. I should buy my dog a bed from this company. When you're looking at Halo, like you kind of get it for like Yeti.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay. This is all in the sphere of
outdoors.
Beverages and food and through a brand promise of outdoors, to your point. If anything, they should have actually just followed the exact Yeti playbook and be like, Yeti's for like posers and coldest is for people who actually want the coldest things in the world. We do coolers, we do mugs, we do this. I think their product expansion wasn't focused enough to get the brand halo that they might have gotten.
If you were Joe and Dave and you were giving them advice, it is a commodity category and it's very difficult to kind of win in this space. You have Yeti, you have Hydro Flask, you have Stanley, you have Nalgene, which I learned was the OG of hydration bottle products.
When I was in college, all the rage was Nalgene bottles and everybody carried around these hiking Nalgene bottles and like put stickers on them. Like that was their identity. And now, of course, it's Stanley Cups. The challenge with talking about like a Nalgene or a Stanley Cup is nobody quite knows how to replicate that. Actually finding a way to get mass market cultural influence such that teens decide it is the thing that will decide whether or not they are cool or not in the eyes of their peers is impossible to force create.
Right. You can't position yourself as a fad.
I mean, this is why it like sucks to be a social media manager at a brand is the CEO is like, hey, make a viral post.
Yes.
You're like, okay, like probably not, but I'll try.
I'll do my best to just, you know, share it to everyone I know.
You know, these water bottle trends do take off and water bottles have a longstanding tradition of being identity markers for teens. But I think it's very hard to know if you could actually get lightning in a bottle there. Strategies that they could take would be number one, just focus on a single product, put all your resources into that. It's probably the water bottle. Focus on your actual differentiator, which is that you stay colder for longer. And then focus on trying to sell into niches that care about that and getting really outsized market share in those niches.
Right. You know, I kind of wish that this product was around back when we had the ice bucket challenge in some ways, because it ties in perfectly to like the coldest water and have like a little splash effect on your friends. That could be something a little cute, trendy TikTok challenge type content that I feel like people would really eat up.
Yeah.
But I think my main advice then would be, you know, hone into your main SKUs. You should not have more than 50 different SKUs of water bottles. Build something within your business model to offer customization and have that at a higher charge if that's something that folks are really interested in. But for them, I would really recommend focusing on what's kind of selling through the most, really doubling down on that and really owning that coldest in all of their messaging and making that the most prominent because that is their main differentiation point.
Yeah.
So let's go into the Shark's response a little bit. Lori's out. She doesn't really like their model. Mark doesn't really see much ability to scale. Kind of some of the things that we covered. Robert's out because he feels like they're losing too much money, which arguably they are. And Damon isn't really a big fan in terms of their manufacturing model and is out. We had a little bit of some kind of counteroffers and negotiations happen. So Kevin wants 7%. He agrees to $600K, but he wants a royalty of $2.30 roughly per order until he makes back $3 million. I actually think that was a pretty reasonable deal because of the way that they are so sales focused and generating so much cash. From an investor perspective, I thought that was a very fair offer.
Yeah. Royalties in theory are a great idea because they actually align an investor's incentives with the business incentives. When someone is getting a royalty from you, they have a very strong incentive to promote your product because that's how they make their money back. But the things you have to look at are, number one, do you have enough margin that you can afford the royalty? The thing you really want to avoid is not being able to actually market your product, run your business, scale your operations, because, you know, that royalty basically comes out of any profits that would be reinvested back into the business. And so that's the first thing you want to look at. In this case, their margin is great. They're selling these things for $60 each.
Yeah.
They definitely can afford a $2.27 royalty here.
So as we know, they counter back. They say, hey, give us $1.5 million for 5% at a three-year mark. And then if Kevin wants to go out, they could, and they would pay him back 1.5 times, which I think this is the first time we've seen a deal based off of kind of an out for our investor. I think they sense the hesitancy a little bit. As we know, I mean, anytime you're counter negotiating against Mr. Wonderful, it's going to be a bit of a challenge. So doesn't agree. They don't go with Kevin, and our founders leave the tank without a deal. They didn't really have the confidence in how the revenue was being spent, warehousing issues, and just overall business model. So I have a bit of a company update if you're ready for it.
Sure.
So similarly, again, to all of our other products that we see, there was a Shark Tank effect to some degree. During the live airing, we had one of our producers pull up the Shopify app, and they saw that there was over 8,000 live shoppers on the website at once. It has since subsided to a really much smaller kind of degree since then, but there was definitely a very initial, immediate reaction within the market. As far as how long they're able to sustain, especially now in this hyper-competitive market with Stanley, time will tell. But they definitely got a little bit of that initial bump. So hopefully they double down on the water bottle SKUs, get rid of the dog beds, and continue to kind of hyper-focus.
Yeah. This pitch did inspire me to try and like go find my old Nalgene. I bet I have it tucked away somewhere. I got to bring it back.
Yeah.
It was big too. It held a lot of water and that was really great. I'm still hydrated.
Production for today's episode was brought to you by Ari DeSarmo. Editing comes from Robert Hartwig and support from Alfred Schultz. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, or wherever you subscribe to the greatest podcasts ever. That does it for me. See you next week in the tank for another bite. I want to take a break to tell you about a podcast coming to the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. It's called The Next Wave, AI and the Future of Technology. It's hosted by Matt Wolf and Nathan Lands. AI technology is transforming the way we do business, and the media landscape is currently fragmented. The Next Wave is leading the pack on AI technology and how you can apply it to growing your business. Matt and Nathan are leading AI creators and your guiding light in the AI and technology frontier. Listen to The Next Wave wherever you get your podcasts.